Bomerican's exciting news for 2024. Introducing our brand new bonus show platform. Accessing all the bonus content is now a breeze. You asked us, we listened. Visit TMOSstore.com, click on bonus, and voila! It's the seamless way to snag that fifth hour and show love for your favorite podcast. Thanks a bunch, and happy holidays.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Thank you. That is Dude Walker, and I thank you, dude, and happy holidays, everybody. Today is the 28th day of December, and it is Thursday. You may want to write that down because we are in that weird period of time between Christmas and New Year's where nobody knows what day of the week it is, and we're all full of cheese and fudge and things like that. Or maybe it's just me. I don't know. Botmos, number 3199. That, of course, Botmos, B-O-T-M-O-S, the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. We have a sensational one for you today. Mac tells a story that could become a regular feature. Mac's story time. It could become a regular feature. But as of now, it's just a segment. Also, we talk about malevolent traits. Do you have them? Do we have them? It's a good look inside at your favorite broadcast personalities, provided, of course, we are your favorite broadcast personalities. I will hope that we are. And then we start off with an interview with a really great guy, Pete Holmes, stand-up comic extraordinaire. He plays, I believe, Batman on YouTube, but also he was on the HBO show Crashing. And I joke in the past that, I was on Crashing, Rob Spiewak on Crashing. That was my collaboration, my collab with Judd Apatow. It was one day of work that I sort of backed into quite by accident. I was helping Sarah Fraser audition for a role on Crashing. And not only did she get the part, they asked me to be on it too. So it was literally an accident that I got put in this show. Now, speaking of accidents, I believe the episode after I appeared, that is when HBO canceled Crashing, which has always been sort of a sticking point for Mike and Oscar, saying that I ruined the show. I don't think I had the power, but who knows? Maybe I am responsible for the downfall of that wonderful program. But we had Pete Holmes on the show to promote his book. And to say this guy is introspective and thoughtful is an absolute understatement. The guy is smart and the guy thinks, and I love what he has to say. And above all that, I'll always remember he was very nice to me when I was collaborating with Judd Apatow. So, star of Crashing, Pete Holmes, right here on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
We are really, really excited to have this gentleman on the show. Pete Holmes has a book that hits today. It is called A Comedy Sex God. Well, I read the book, so I might want to say Comedy Sex God. Well, we'll ask him about it in a second. It's available wherever you buy books. Pete's a comedian, writer, and cartoonist, and a Christ-leaning spiritual seeker. Man, does he seek in this book. This book is just chock-a-block with seeking. He hosts the popular podcast You Made It Weird. He created and starred in the HBO show Crashing, which had Rob Spiewak on it. That's why it was canceled. And he co-executive produced with Judd Apatow. He's been on television for a long time with specials on HBO, and he lives with his wife and daughter in Los Angeles. And we are thrilled to finally get Pete on the show. Pete, thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah, nice to be here, and nice to kind of be with Rob again.
Yeah, it is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, Pete, this is Mike, and let me just say right out of the chute, I am so sorry that Rob did that to your show.
I had a feeling. Yeah. Can we call it the curse of Rob now? Any show that he's yes. on, it's the last yeah. season. Yeah, know.
It's thank God I'm just doing a podcast, because my God, if it was anything more significant like your career, but I don't like to use cliches like you can't put it down. But I will tell you that there was a day when I was reading this book when I had show prep to do, because I was coming in to do this show and I was reading it in the morning, and I literally could not put your book down.
Oh, well.
I'm not even sure I know how to talk about it, because this is stuff that I do not spend my time thinking deeply. But your book is now. Tell me if I'm giving people the title the correct way. The book is not Comedy Sex God. It is Comedy Sex God. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes,
okay.
That's right. I do get that a lot, and we knew I would get that a lot. We knew that the title was a little bit misleading in sort of a funny way. So my editor and I, Luke, we liked that people would be unsure if I was calling myself a comedy sex god or if those are the three topics. But since you've read it, Mike, you know most of the sex in the book is with myself. So I am not a sex god. It is not the case at all. And I'm certainly not a comedy god either. Those are just, I have a podcast as well. And those were always the three topics that I just naturally gravitated to. I love talking about comedy. I love talking about sex or god or love, like relationships. And I love talking about God or the mystery of existence or the meaning of life. So those, it became a funny title.
And there's only one part of the book that I don't want to like do a Game of Thrones spoiler alert here, but there's a, because when you talk about most of the sex was with yourself, there's one part where you talk an awful lot about that, but I just didn't know. I don't think you did. No, you just talked about it and it was an awakening and you were out there with Ram Dass. I'm into this book. I mean, I might be going on my...
Yeah.
I might be going on my own journey on this book, but you know, you talk about masturbation as a teaching moment. It's just let me tell you, there is stuff in this book that if it can get a person like me, a failed Catholic, somebody who got back into a Lutheran Episcopalian hybrid church, and then the pastor ended up behaving very badly with one of the married parishioners, so they kicked him out, and then they wouldn't tell the parish what was going on. And I'm done. This is me. This is me. What about a year ago, guys?
Yeah, right, that's not right. Yes,
we're about a year ago.
Sundays were open.
I'm done. Sunday's open now. Screw it. Not going back. Not doing. But always in my heart, feeling that kind of that need and searching. And I don't want to get so heavy, Pete, to say that things happen for a reason. Rob was on your show. We wanted to book you for a long time. And then this book, I think the short version is, I had no idea that I would be reading the book I was reading. And it was absolutely fascinating. It's so much of your spiritual journey, which is such a massive part of your life. You really do open up in this book about your entire life, and you're a seeker, my friend. You truly are.
Absolutely. And you know, I wish that wasn't so rare. I think it's just so embarrassing. Obviously, religion and religious people are so embarrassing that it's hard to kind of admit that you have a leaning. That's why I like to say Christ leaning. You know, it's a way of not turning people off by saying that I love Christ or I love Buddha or any of that stuff. But I mean, there you are saying you're exactly, Mike, who the book is for. My mom joked that she was going to give the book to my pastor. And I was like, it's not, you know, you can go ahead and, you know, knock yourself out, but it's not for him. I wrote the book for people like you and for people like me. There's tens of thousands of them that I swear I've met, maybe not in person, but online. And a lot of them in person, that lost their faith. And for reasons like you mentioned, you know, my pastor, my church had an affair with the person he was counseling and everything fell apart. And obviously in all sorts of traditions, there's even worse things that happen that make people leave their church. And in my case, it was a divorce. Like I felt like I had been such a good boy, capital G, capital B, and I didn't smoke or drink or swear, and I believed the right things, and I didn't have sex until I was basically married. You know, I kind of go into that in the book, but I even did that right, and then my wife had an affair, and I sort of looked at God like the mafia, like I was paying my protection money, and he was supposed to stop the hoodlums from throwing a brick through my bakery window, you know, and he didn't. They still broke my window.
When you sat down, when the idea of the book, was it always in your mind that you were going to write a book that was not so much your standard comedy fare, but a book about, you know, your journey? Is that was that in your mind for a long time before you took pen to paper?
I think that's why a book. You know, like you, I have a podcast, so I have a way of talking with people, which is really nice. And I'm a stand-up, so I have a way of, you know, talking to people in that way as well. But really, I'm not exaggerating, the most interesting thing to me is the mystery of existence and what babies can be saved from bathwaters and all the various traditions and what they're all sort of pointing to. I mean, I just woke up, I'm on a different time zone, and I just woke up with that sort of like this again? Like, what is going on? Like, I wake up that way most mornings. Like, I'm just like, I don't accept this as just like a natural foregone conclusion. It seems like such a strange predicament that we're all sort of like stuck in these bodies, and we're all acting like it's so normal that we're on a rock in infinity and we're talking to each other and eating churros. It's like so off-putting to me that it's all I really want to talk about. So, you know, I talk about in the book that I experimented with psychedelics and I dived into more than one spiritual tradition, and that was because I just can't shake the feeling that something very strange is going on, or something maybe very mysterious is going on. So with a book, I sort of felt like I had permission to get into that directly. I was like, look, if you buy a book called Comedy, Sex, God, you're probably okay with me talking about comedy, sex, and God. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that's giving me permission to talk to them about what I've learned. And as we've already discussed, that can be tricky.
That actually answers the question I was going to ask you, because I get the distinct feeling that you're using the book also to, you're not trying to put your system on everybody else. In fact, quite the opposite, but you are using it to enlighten and to teach a little bit. And I came away with a feeling that I've got to dive into it one more time. I should probably read it again, but I was fascinated with some of the paths you took, and specifically with, I guess, your spiritual guy, this gentleman, Ram Dass, that you went to see in Hawaii. I just felt a real warmth during that entire section of the book when you go out to Hawaii and you get a personal retreat with him, and just this wonderful guy that exudes love, and I was moved by it. I was affected by the book. It got me thinking, and you know, they're not enough. You're right, not enough people that are seeking, that are out there trying to find something, and who knows what the answer is. And that's kind of where you are with all this, but you don't give up the search. If I'm rambling incoherently for our listeners, I will tell you it's because a lot of this stuff is hard for me, Pete. It's a little difficult for me to wrap my head around all of it, but it does start me thinking. And it's almost like as I'm reading this book that you wrote, I said, yeah, when I interview you, I want Pete to know that I've done a good job, because I kind of felt that way. So I don't know. I got to go back and look at some of the stuff again.
I hear that. And, you know, I'm compelled, Mike, to tell you to read The Universal Christ by Richard Rohr, which is in the further reading section of my book. I recommend that. I just interviewed Richard Rohr for my podcast about that book, and I swear I had the exact same experience. I just wanted to demonstrate to him that I understood the book, and I just wanted to tell him how much it meant to me. So I'm flattered if it's anything like that. We kind of alluded to a couple things. One is that the definition for God is one that I think a lot of people will enjoy, which I got from Joseph Campbell, which is that God is a metaphor for a mystery that absolutely transcends all categories of human thought, including being and non-being, which is just another way of saying we need to talk about something. I make a joke in the book that it's like dogs trying to understand the internet, you know, and dogs can only really get so close to understanding the internet. But unfortunately, unlike dogs and the internet, we're born with an itch. Like, we really, 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 we're sort of, I don't want to say cursed, but maybe blessed with self-consciousness. We know we're here. We know we die. We know what's going on. We have this very active frontal lobe. So we want to know what's going on. And what I sort of explore in the Joseph Campbell part of the book is that, like, metaphors and mythology and stories are the closest we can get to talking about the ineffable, which is really just a fancy word for things you can't talk about. And that's why it was so important for me to have experiences that were ineffable, whether they were experiences in love or experiences with psychedelics. Things that I couldn't nail down easily made me think that maybe that's what religion was trying to do. They were trying to talk about things that you really can't talk about, and the best we can do is with metaphors. So that was that. And I also don't mind talking about the reason it's called Comedy, Sex, God is because for so many of us, I mean, look at what happened at your church, and look at what happened at my church, and look at what happened in my youth. It's like God and sex are so intertwined. And I write in the book that, like, when I was a kid, I wasn't tempted to lie or steal or cheat or hurt people. But of course, I was very sexual. Like, you have a new batch of hormones bubbling up from within every single morning. It never goes away. So, of course, when you raise people to believe in God, and especially if you believe in a judgmental and hell-kicking people into God, you're going to worry that your sexuality is your big problem. It's the number one thing putting you at risk to going to hell. So I had to talk about that. I had to write about what it was like finding a love that is as indiscriminate as the light, that loves even, not even, loves that part of you as well. And I had to learn to love that part of myself as well, which is why there's so many shameful masturbation stories in the book. later, it's by design.
You grew up in a very religious house because of your mom. And, you know, you were brought up in that where the kind of evangelical experience where there's a lot of repression. The Catholic Church that I was brought up in has a lot of that as well. And it kind of, you know, I have stories within my own family where the religious beliefs made people inevitably less happy based on you can't marry somebody who's been divorced. My aunt, God rest her soul, was in love with a man in New York, couldn't marry him because he'd been divorced because she was so doggone Catholic. And I think the thing that resonated with me when you talked about your spiritual path was looking at our days and what's happening in our lives as episodes. Because there's a big chunk of this book where you say all the problems we have in life, all the stuff that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, the good, the bad, if you look at it like episodes, that was a fascinating way of looking at life. As far as people who are stressed out and going through, if you look at like your life and what happens to you as episodes of a show, I thought that was brilliant in the book. And that's the one that got me where I said, man, if I could do that, I wouldn't yell at the guys I work with so much.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they'd appreciate it. maybe you would yell at the people that you work with, but you wouldn't be so, to use Buddhist language, you wouldn't be so attached to it. Or you wouldn't be so lost in identification with it. Because I don't want to, I'm not selling morality, which is obviously sort of how most religion is interpreted. And I'm all for it. I think we should be kind to one another. Right. But there's something about, like, when I lose my temper with my wife, for example, I don't mean at her. I just mean when we're together and I lose my temper, I sort of do what I'm talking about. And I just say to her, like, I'm very angry. I'm going to be angry for fun now. You know what I mean? Like, there's a detachment to going, like, my body wants to be angry. I'm going to rant about this, but please don't think I'm in the boat and it's just, you know, getting further and further from shore. I'm still here with you, but I'm going to get angry just because it's what the animal wants. It's what my body wants. I'm going to do it, but it's just for fun. And that's what the idea of good episode is often when we look back on things that happened to us, we resist them in the moment. And then later we look back and realize that if it was a TV show, that was a really great episode of The Mike Show or The Pete Show or whichever one we're watching. That's like a very sort of Western and simple way of looking at a very ancient and Far Eastern idea. And also it's in Christianity as well, which is the idea that you're not your small self. You're not your false self, which is what Carl Jung would say. Or Freud would say, you're not your psychology, and you're not your nationality, and you're not your race, and you're not your gender, and you're not your favorite food and your favorite movie. This is all stuff that's all a story that your mind is telling you. Who you really are is the awareness that's observing that stuff. Science calls this consciousness. Just it's what your body formed around, you know, and it's what you sort of, it's your basic operating system. And, you know, Christians call that the soul. Hindus call that the Atman. It's basically just your basic isness. And when we're in that place, why have that like fancy thought? It's like fun to go like, oh, maybe we're souls. For me, that's where peace is and that's where joy is. You know, Ram Dass taught me that joy and peace don't exist in the ego. They can't. Our egos are constantly shifting and they're just stories made of, you know, I was just on vacation and I was eating ice cream on the beach and you're like, oh, this is nice. Like your brain sort of lights up like this is nice, but it's fleeting. It goes away. The ice cream melts or you eat it or it's gone. And then you want some water and then you want to swim and then you're salty and you want to nap. It's constant, never ending bullshit, you know, but like, what is the part of you that's just observing that stuff? That's just sort of, and you can get in touch with it. You know, I say in the book, I say, sing happy birthday in your head and then ask yourself, who is hearing that? Who's hearing you sing that? And then try to identify with that.
This is heavy stuff right here. The book is Comedy Sex God. We're talking to Larry the Cable Guy.
No.
I'm kidding. No, I'm sorry. I had to make a joke like that. Oscar, I know you wanted to get a question or two in with Pete Holmes. It is a great book. You can tell Pete is a thinker, ladies and gentlemen. He thinks more about this stuff than you or I, and I'm fascinated by it. I wish I did it more. I might do it more.
Please
after
do.
Both reading the
yes,
book and talking
you stop
to
yelling
go
at
ahead,
us.
Oscar. I don't want to monopolize the conversation.
Pete, it's an honor to connect with you, and thank you for tolerating Rob Spiewak, our colleague, for years now on your set. If you were going to pick any hack DJ in the country, he is the guy to bring on set and play
great
that
casting.
Role. He killed.
Great
he killed.
It was.
Perfect.
He did.
Perfect.
What I wanted to ask you was, really, my, if you talk about life in episodes, my upbringing is Latin, so it'd be a novela. So we're going novela. I know my mom finds joy in buying yet another, probably her 50th of the year, Virgen de Guadalupe candle. How can I explain to my mom that we don't need a candle in every room, and just because you light them doesn't mean everything's going to come true?
Right. Yeah, you know, it's funny, man. I sort of talk about this in the book, is that there's a temptation when our, I want to use fewer fancy words, but when we evolve, let's call it evolving, and we become a little bit more spacious, let's say that. So our minds and our hearts are a little bit more open, right? It's very, very tempting, and I'm guilty of this with my own mother. I've sent her so many books. When I buy something on Amazon, it's like the first address. They think I'm sending it to my mom, and I'm like, no, this one's going to be for me. So there's a real temptation, right? We want to bring people along with us, and we want to sort of, I don't know, for me personally, I want to look down on how other people believe. You know, there are people listening that probably believe, I know there are, of course there are,
yeah,
but believe differently from me. And the beautiful thing about my worldview now, as opposed to my worldview before, my worldview before was that I had to convert, and I had to, almost like in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say you can't force someone to become sober. In the same way, you can't force anyone's heart to open in this way or that way. And when I look at when my heart opened, nobody forced me to do it either. It was a divorce. It was psychedelic drugs. It was loss. It was this. It was despair. It was all these things that had to happen to me in order to get, you know, in order to arrive where I've arrived. But then, of course, when we get someplace that has more joy and more peace and more freedom, and if I'm hearing you correctly, maybe less superstition, right?
Yes.
Which really is just the brother of fear. You know, so you want your mother to have less fear.
Yes.
And you want her to be able to say yes to what is. Richard Rohr says the first forgiveness is to the universe itself, you know, for being how it is. So when we're superstitious and we're afraid, we're really resisting what is. And when we're resisting what is, we're not living like Christ. Christ walked around saying, look at the birds, look at the flowers, look at the trees. He kept pointing us to nature and how unanxious nature is. So I hear your love for your mother in that question. But at the same time, to quote Ram Dass, when you leave third grade and you go to fourth grade, you can't look back on the people in third grade and be like, look at those idiots. You were those idiots. You were those people in third grade. So
very true.
It's important to have compassion and realize that it's all relative. It's not going anywhere. Your mother is lawfully living out the life that she's supposed to as a part of this whole big one thing. Even though it doesn't make sense, you just sort of have to...
Oh, I embrace
what
it.
We all have to do with our family.
That's a Christmas has a lot of candles.
Well, Pete, I got to tell you, I have to jump in here because, you know, here is the man himself, the man who made us more aware. We were all aware of your show crashing and your stand up. But Rob was so thrilled to have the opportunity to work with you. And I remember you saying great things about working with Pete and how great he was to work with.
Gracious.
And now this is like a reunion for you, Rob Spiewak. Talk to your pal.
It's so cool. I really do. I have to say in front of everyone who's listening, you made that day on the set so fun. I mean, literally fun. I went in scared out of my wits because I didn't know what to expect.
And then you effed it all up for him, Rob.
And then I got the show canceled. And so for that, we're sorry. But I also want to, I do have to say a most sincere thank you for making that day just spectacular. Really had a great time.
Oh, you were great. You were so great. That was a really fun day on that campus. You and what was the young lady's name? Forgive me.
Sarah Fraser played Cindy.
That's right. That's right. You guys were both great. As somebody who's done, you know, a lot of radio like that, I thought you did a really good job kind of doing the Mountain Dew drinking, not listening DJ. And really, I thought it came out really, really well.
And I also, I want to say, I echo what Mike says about your book being so insightful and as a seeker. I take a lot of comfort knowing that you just had a baby. How old is your daughter? Is she 6 months now?
That's just about right. She's 7 months, yep.
And it's when you have this sort of journey, this faith-seeking journey that you're on, and you have the courage and the faith to bring a child into the world, that makes me feel good, because you're obviously a much smarter man than I. And so if you're bringing a child into the world, I think we're going to be okay.
Is that a question, Rob, or what? I'm just curious about that.
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment. Yeah, and I also wanted to know, has having a child changed your view or your journey?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The last couple chapters of the book are about Leela. That's her name. And Leela means the dance. So when we're talking about the other guys, mother, what was it, Mario?
Oscar.
But he'll answer
Mario's
to Mario, too.
I'll
take Mario. You're celebrity.
Carlos.
Hector.
Fernando.
So
Hector.
I'll call you Mario now. It's not even close to Oscar. There's just an O in it, I guess.
Hector's
there. The O works.
Yeah, Hector.
It's early. It's early in L.A. It's all right.
I love it.
It is early. Her name means the dance or the play of the universe, basically. So what we're doing is what we're doing. And this is all there is, really. My friend Michael Gunger wrote an incredible book called This. It's just called This, which really changed my life. And it's about unity of consciousness. It's basically the idea that physics is pointing us to, not pointing us to, concluding Einstein, that we were basically all one thing. And as this one thing loses itself in the illusion of separateness, it's all sort of lawful. Everything that's happening is interconnected. When you get in the water in the ocean, you feel like you're surrounded by something, but you're no less surrounded right now. You know, you're surrounded by molecules that aren't wet, but you're just as in the thick of it as you are in the ocean all the time. You can't escape it. You're basically in one big jello mold. That's what Leela means. It's like it's just one thing singing itself. It's dancing and it's playing. And that's why when we were talking about Mario's mother, it's all in the game. And that's sort of a big point in my book, is that like loss and divorce and certainly doubt and shame, it's all in it. It's all in it for it to experience itself, if that makes sense. And it's not an error in the system. It's all sort of the play to help us, Mike used the term enlighten, in order to lighten up, you know, in order to wake up, in order to live more freely, more peacefully, less attached lives. But whatever's happening, you're talking about having a kid at this world at this time, I totally understand that. And yet here it's all still going. It's all still happening. The dance sort of continues.
Beautiful.
I want to tell you, Pete, and I know I speak for Rob and Mario when I tell you that I think that this is truly an interesting book to read. It's got so much wonderful humor in it. And you've changed me a little bit, and I'm going to continue to try to seek out some stuff with this, because it is fascinating. When I read a book like this, I wonder how the process happened. And it was Rob doing your show, and then we wanted to get you on the show, and then reading this where I really couldn't put it down. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this. And don't think, because we're dealing with these deep thoughts, all you people that are going to accuse me of not being light enough on my podcast, you're going to get something out of this. It is a comedy sex god, and you know, there are no commas in this title, but I will tell you, this is a great read. And Pete, I wish you nothing but the best. I'd love to, you know, when you come through Washington, stop by and visit us if you're doing a tour. We'd love to chat again, we have more time to do it. And good luck with everything. And as far as last question, real quick, and this is the standard one, but I'm genuinely curious about it. After Crashing, anything else television in the works besides the stand-up that I know you're still doing? What any projects? I know you're constantly thinking and creating. What's going on?
Well, you know, it's funny. So I recommended Richard Rohr to you. Richard Rohr is this amazing Franciscan who, when I recommend him to people, I also have to be like, don't worry, it's not boring, it's not terrible, it's not closed-minded or judgmental, just like what you had to do whenever we talk about this stuff. But anyway, Richard talks about, like, he has this beautiful thing about, like, knowing needs to be balanced with unknowing. Basically, all our certainty needs to be balanced with mystery. And I would add to that, doing needs to be balanced with undoing.
Yep. So, amen.
I was so busy for 4 years, and I always take it as love that people want to know what I'm doing next. And there's definitely ideas kicking around, and I'm working on writing a couple things and doing more stand-up. And, of course, doing my own podcast. But then, like, I'm trying to balance it out. I had 4 years. I mean, Rob, you saw what it was like. That was me every day. It was 14 hours a day.
It was, yeah.
For months and months. And then the rest of the year was writing and editing and doing the press. And that was a privilege. I was so happy to be able to do it. And now I'm so happy to, I get up, I write for a couple hours, and then I'm hanging with the family and trying to rest a little bit. Because I think we need to remember that our best ideas come from, it's a quiet voice. It's not a loud voice. It's a quiet voice. So we have to be quiet enough to hear it. And that,
I love that.
Some ice cream on the beach. Thanks.
I love it. You know what? And you write beautifully. Keep doing it.
Yes.
I think I found this book really special. It's Comedy Sex God. Pete Holmes, thank you so, so very much. And please, I'd love to have you on the show again anytime you want to come and join us and just chat about
It'd
the bigger things in life. It would be so much fun. Good luck, Pete. And thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'd love to. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. That's Pete Holmes. Pretty good talking to him, huh, Robbie? How are you?
Fascinating.
You have a good time, Hector?
This is apropos. I asked the stick question, and he quickly forgot my name. And he said,
it's heavy. I can't articulate it. He is a deep thinker.
But it's very
really
palatable.
Cares about the, it's very easy to understand. It is.
It is.
He has comedy in it, but I'm telling you, if you are somebody like me, spiritually, who is in a bit of a void, my whole family is right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you see something like this and you go, I haven't been energetic enough to explore Eastern religions and philosophies and looking at life, but I've always been curious about it. And
yes,
this is a kind of a door that opens for it. And I think you'll get a lot out of it. And it's extremely funny.
May I add this? Oscar wanted to ask a question of him, but Mario is here, you know, monopolizing all the time.
Yeah. Mario always interrupts.
He's a blabbermouth.
Right.
Oscar was truly shocked by the way that a man who has reached success in such a really volatile business, whether it be comedy or, you know, feature films,
yeah,
or producing television,
yep,
shows.
Yep.
It's shocking that someone that is so grounded can be so successful in a world that we perceive as, you know, show business. That is, it's cutthroat.
Yeah, you don't see it a lot.
Yeah.
So he's
clearly
doing something right.
Well, when you read the book, and give your brother the copy of that book,
because you got it.
He doesn't have it.
Mario will read it.
Give it to Mario, because I think I come out of that saying peaceful, and you want to be a better person.
Yeah.
I didn't want to put that kind of pressure on Pete talking to him, but
right,
it's really, really interesting stuff. And you know, you had said that he was a cool guy on the set. That
extraordinarily, I mean, the way I described it, he was very giving. He did not have any sort of hunger for the attention, mm-hmm, and he was very eager
nurturing
to spread it around and nurture what was going
that's
on in
great
the scene.
Damn.
And the fact that he brought that in the interview today, it just shows that that's really him, I think. I really do.
And if you need this cell for it, a lot of masturbation.
Yes.
Anyway, that's it. And we want to thank Pete, and this is the Mike O'Mara Show. Hit the thingy that you hit, Rob.
Z88.7, the Rock of Charleston. It's your old buddy Lester reminding you that the best defense is a good offensive. So, if you struggle with foot odor like I used to.
Oh boy, don't I know it.
Yeah, attack it with Dr. Scholl's OdorX Odor Fighting Foot Powder. It's great. Ask for it by name. All right, do it. Now, I'm very excited to have this guy in studio with us. First time he's joined us. He's a comedian, but he's a Christian comedian.
Oh.
Yeah, can you think about that? Like, that's like a Christian stripper.
Well, you know.
Let's welcome Pete Holmes.
Thank you.
You got to help me out. I can't wrap my head around Christian comedian. What's going on with that?
Oh, you know, it's I'm here for the Good Faith Variety Tour.
Mm-hmm.
We have ventriloquists. We have musicians. It's a great, great show.
Cool. We have a game we like to play where we figure out your porno name.
Ooh, yeah. He's going to be really good at this, Lester.
I don't know if I want to do
it. It's really easy. The ground rules are as follows. All we need is the name of the street you grew up on and the nickname you have for your junk. And you put that together, that's your porno name.
I don't know.
This is good.
You're going to like this. I'm Oak Thunder Nuggins.
Yeah, and I'm Pleasant Clambake.
I mean, I don't really... Bloomfield Testes. Can I say testes on the radio?
You did. It's great. Tell us more about your show.
Do you pray?
Yeah, I pray.
But what about, like, during the show?
Nobody prays during the show. No, there's no prayer in the show. It's just a show. It's a regular show. But, you know, I pray before the show.
Did you pray before this show?
I did.
Yeah. How's that working?
Yeah.
I hope it's going okay.
Good
Rob Spiewak here on Bot Moss. And are you a good guy? You know, you like to think you're a good person. I like to think I'm a good person. But what about the 9 traits of malevolence? Would you like to see if you have any of them? Ah, we can do that. Let's start out as we discuss traits of malevolence on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's take a moment to discuss your health, shall we?
Please.
Ready for that?
Please.
Thank you.
Take two.
It is said, if you don't care for yourself, why should anyone else? So be kind to yourself. Treat yourself to the TMOS Bonus Show. You see, most other podcasts are full of salt, sugar, artificial flavorings, weird goo, and cancer-causing colorant. I've heard some of them have low-grade radiation.
A lot of them do. Marin does.
Just saying that because I've been watching Chernobyl. Not the TMOS Bonus Show. Subscribe and you'll get a bonus episode of TMOS every week that is 100% organic, non-GMO, vegan, rich in protein, high in fiber, and recommended by 4 out of 5 dentists to their patients that consume podcasts. Listen for only 1 week and your stools will be gigantic with no more odor than a hot biscuit. I guarantee it.
Gross.
Guaranteed.
Remember, the future of our show depends on it. Just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. You get access to all our bonus content and you'll be helping TMOS. The Bonus Show! It may have come in contact with peanuts, tree nuts, soy milk, eggs, wheat, shellfish, or eggs, but it's goddamn funny. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was a good one, Rob.
Thank you. Like that? Non-GMO.
All right. The article is entitled, that I saw, New Theory of Dark Personality Reveals the 9 Traits of Evil People in Your Life.
Oh, so not just dark, but evil.
Evil. That is a completely different animal.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. Do evil people exist? While the answer to this may depend on your religious background and what you understand evil to be, scientists have figured out that people have a dark core to their personality. What's more, a general dark factor, thank you, of personality defector exists that can tell the extent of a person's dark traits, which cause questionable ethical, moral, and social behavior. What is the defector? The research team from Germany and Denmark,
they would know,
define the defectors as the basic tendency to maximize one's own utility at the expense of others, accompanied by beliefs that serve as justification for one's malevolent behavior. Malevolent is a great word.
It means actually
really, really
programmed to do bad. You want to do bad.
Malevolent?
Malevolent. It's the opposite of benevolent.
Malevolent.
They go through their process and how they figured things out, which I'm not going to trouble you with now. But they came up with the 9 traits of malevolence.
9.
That would be a great name for a Netflix special.
The 9 traits of malevolence.
Yes.
These are the 9 traits comprising the defector, along with the definitions used by the scientists. Now, I think I'm going to go 1 to 9 because it seems to make sense.
Okay.
Right? Now, 1 is something we all have, but, well, no, not necessarily the way they put it. We have ego. We don't necessarily all have egoism to the extent that they talk about in this study. But let me give it to you and then we'll discuss.
All right.
Ego.
1 is egoism. The excessive concern with one's own pleasure or advantage at the expense of community well-being. I don't think I have that. That may be like robbing a bank or doing something evil that would damage people just to make yourself feel better.
The thing that that is the telling part of that statement is at the expense of the community's well-being. I think we've all done stuff to seek pleasure, and we've all been selfish in different ways, but never at the expense of the community.
That sounds like criminal activity.
Yeah, that's
me.
So. Yeah, I think I'm
of a community's well-being.
It can, but it also it's at the root selfishness.
But selfishness is a softer word than this, Oscar. Yeah. Let me tell you again.
Okay. At the expense of the community.
The excessive concern with one's own pleasure or advantage at the expense of community well-being. Now, I don't know what they're using as community. Yeah, yeah. Do you want to use community?
Okay, let's say like a flasher. A flasher clearly cares more about his own kink than the community
than the
that
good
he's hurting.
The kids at the playground.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
That's how
or
I
the
interpret
lady at the bus stop.
It as something like a crime. Like
she'll
something
be
that
fine.
Would
have. All right,
so. She'll be fine, Pony. You creep.
You're a jerk.
Number two. We all have ego, and we've all sacrificed others within our circle for our own ego.
Yeah, but usually that's not a business decision.
But that's don't make me do that today.
I'm sorry.
Don't do that.
You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike O'Mara Show.
Number two is Machiavellianism.
Oh yes,
all these big words.
Machiavellianism.
That's right.
Machiavellianism. That
hurts
I know how to pronounce this
hurts
word.
My mouth.
Machiavellianism. Machiavellianism. Machiavellian. It's Machiavellian behavior.
Yeah, based on
manipulativeness,
Machiavelli.
Callous effect, and a strategic calculating orientation. That means people that play each other off of other people on a regular basis.
Oh, I got somebody right in our inner circle, in the inner cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a coincidence, or is it, that his name is Mac?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mac, Machiavelli.
Mac.
Not Orange Mac.
Orange Mac will say, hey, Micro Center is having a sale this week. And I'm like, hey, man, can I get a discount? Then he'll say, my boss won't let you get a discount.
I don't know if there's going to be a discount
and
for you.
And then he'll call me. He's like, he'll string me along for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, what about that discount? And he'll be like, my boss says no. So he's pinning me against his boss.
And that vindictive Machiavellian behavior is also exemplified by the end justifies the means.
Yes.
That's the whole thing of Machiavelli. So thinking that you can step on people all the way to get to that discount, that's classic Mac.
Somehow I just think putting Mac on that is a little silly.
Where does he lay in on the superego stuff?
Manipulativeness, callous effect, and a strategic calculating orientation.
We all know people on radio that are like this.
Not me!
Me neither.
Never met one.
Number three, moral disengagement. A generalized cognitive orientation to the world that differentiates individuals' thinking in a way that powerfully affects unethical behavior.
What's it again?
Read it again, one more time.
All right. Moral disengagement. A generalized cognitive orientation to the world that differentiates individuals' thinking in a way that powerfully affects unethical behavior, which means really they don't. I've known people like this.
Cult leaders.
That don't.
Jim Jones.
No. It's people that put the morality of a decision aside to behave badly, unethically, because that's how
they justify the immoral behavior.
Or they just do it.
Yeah.
They just do it, and in their own mind, that's the way they feel. Never known anybody.
I will say this. Maybe you have, and maybe you haven't. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. No one in this circle is like that.
Oh, God.
Now, we all have this. Narcissism.
Oh, of course.
Ego reinforcement is the all-consuming motive. No, but see, it's not... Then narcissism is a heavier word than I want to give, because it's not... It's not our all-consuming motive.
No, but
it's
you
not.
Can.
It can't be.
But we can all give that half a check mark, I think. Just as we flirted with.
We have ego.
The ego.
We have big egos.
Yeah.
Okay, but what drives.
But if they put narcissism like that, that means it's all-consuming. That means yourself is the all-consuming, and it's not.
What do you call this?
Stammer.
I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to name names. But there is someone within our group that if somebody has a killer line and is murdering and getting a lot of attention, they can't help but pile on and actually have the last word and hopefully have a better line.
Even at the sacrifice
of the show.
That is almost like an OCD thing, but it's not necessarily narcissism.
Okay.
So I would whoever this is you're discussing. I would advise this person seek help because that's not healthy.
That was funny. Number five. That is my favorite part of the list. Right there.
Mike, before we jump with number five, to stay on time, can we break here?
Would are that we be late? Okay? Oh my God, we're late. All right. We'll come back and finish this when we come back.
Hey, Rob Spiewak here, hosting and selecting all the best of this week. Remember, we will be back with a new show on January 2nd. But until then, new content for you every day, hand-selected by your old buddy Rob. Now, when we last spoke, we were talking about malevolent traits. Let's finish that up. The traits of malevolence. Part 2 on the Mike O'Mara Show. Best of edition. Ooh.
All right, we're talking about the traits of a dark personality.
Yeah.
And maybe I didn't put that right. 9 traits of evil people in your life.
Okay.
Now, by the way, if you've got somebody who's hit on all 4 of the first ones I've talked about, you're cruising to getting some problems. And we're talking about what we've copped to.
Yeah.
All right. The number 5 is psychological entitlement. A stable and pervasive sense that one deserves more and is entitled to more than others. That's tough right there. And you've got that in certain people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that's kind of a piggybacking on other things, but
to their own detriment. And may I say that in broadcasting, you need a healthy dose of what about me?
True. Yes.
For self-promotion.
Self-promotion, because that's just the nature of the beast. But you also have to choose wisely when to play that card.
It goes away now that we no longer have a prize closet.
or a real general manager.
That's true.
Yes.
But you know what? I will say this, and I think, Mike, you might admit to this as well. That was a stronger trait of mine until I had children. Children really jumble up the way you think sometimes. And it's a different way to put others first.
Yeah, that's why I won't have them.
I'm a different man. Right. That's why you can't have them.
I don't want to lose my edge.
Oh, no. Don't listen to your radio partner. You have as many kids as you want. You'd be a good father. Number 6 is psychopathy. Deficits in affect, callousness, and self-control. So you're, you know, psychopathy means you do things like at the spur of the moment without a lot of thought, not caring about other people.
Okay.
This is all, you know, evil things that are going on here. We're moving right down to...
I don't see any of us as very spur of the moment people. Maybe Oscar a little more because of his...
Ute proximity
to the city and his ute
to the ute well, to the ute.
But I,
to
you and I never do anything like that. I don't think. Do we?
Now I will take you down to number 7, which I have done.
All right.
On this show,
murder,
and I'm not proud of it because it's really a horrible word. It's a horrible word. No, I really haven't. Not with you two around.
What is it?
Sadism.
Oh,
a person who humiliates others. Shows a long-standing pattern of cruel or demeaning behavior to others, or intentionally inflicts physical, sexual... Hold on a second.
What?
Or psychological pain or suffering on others in order to assert power and dominance, or for the for pleasure and enjoyment. I can say unequivocally, I've never done it for pleasure or enjoyment. Mm. But
I don't
know.
Read my novel.
In a reactionary way, I have humiliated people.
Read my novel, 50 Shades of O'Mara.
Does that mean that means yelling at people in publicly?
Yes, yeah. But you don't get off
when you do
on
it publicly.
It.
And, I don't. I hate it.
Belittling.
I freaking hate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm. You've done it to me too, Oscar. So
we've all done our share of yelling.
Yes.
I had a conversation just yesterday. As a younger man.
Yes.
I was not as an effective leader as I thought I was because I grew up in a toxic world of broadcasting where that was rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was rewarded for me, and it shaped the way I behave, and I'm not proud of that.
You learn and evolve.
I try, but pony. Anyway,
but Mike,
let's see,
every day and every way,
you just did it.
You're getting better and better.
I just did it right there. Even in the discussion of it, I did it.
Yeah, but the thing is that did that sexually satisfy you?
Yeah, how you feeling below the trousers?
It did me.
And all right, we got the last 2 here.
Funny.
Yeah.
I hate when I do a show, you're supposed to laugh, and I can't laugh.
Mr. Douglas.
Mr. Douglas. Number 8, self-interest. Self-explanatory right there. The pursuit of gains in socially valued domains, including material goods, social status, recognition, academic or occupational achievement, and happiness. Well, self-interest in a positive way can be good for what you do, I guess.
Oh, hell yeah!
Again, in moderation, and as Oscar says, choose your battles.
Well,
but you combine that with everything else, and it's difficult. And spitefulness, a preference that would harm another, but would also entail harm to oneself. This harm could be social, financial, physical, or an inconvenience. All
right. So, in a way, harming yourself. Because of the benefit of harming someone you hate?
Well, you know what? I don't know. I don't know the answer, but I do know if you'd like to test yourself, we've got quick, and we'll blast through these super
Please.
Quick.
Okay.
This is you might be the psychologist. You might be
a redneck.
A dark person.
A redneck.
You might be a redneck yet. I'm sorry. I'm reading far away with bad glasses. Here's the dark horse scale.
Okay.
Is it hard to get ahead without cutting corners here and there?
No, it's not. It's not.
I like to use clever manipulation to get my way.
No.
Sometimes.
No.
Yes. I'll say yes.
No, Rob. No. Rob does. Rob does.
It's very self-aware for you to admit that.
Nothing I love more than clever.
Yeah. I do too, though. So I'm right there with Rob.
Yeah.
People, and you do too.
No.
You did. I just realized that.
I choose the harder route all the time.
Yes, but you
like
answering,
the struggle, but you manipulate.
By answering
by working harder? I'm sure.
Oscar, by answering no to that question was a clever manipulation itself.
Thank you.
My body of work speaks for itself.
And your body with a body like that.
All right, here we go. Let's answer honestly,
yes.
Please.
Yes.
People who get mistreated have usually done something to bring it on themselves.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No. Some people have bad luck and they put themselves in a bad circumstance. That doesn't mean it was their fault.
It's his fault that he was surfing the internet in the parking lot instead of going to college.
Okay, that is, yes, of course.
That's the answer, though. That's what we're doing here.
But that is not an absolute. You're talking about absolutes.
I don't know. Number four. I know that I am special because everyone keeps telling me so.
No one tells me that.
All right. We were not in this century. I honestly
My mom said, "Are you still working at that podcast?
You do something with computers, right?"
You should know, mom. Number five. Shut up! I gotta finish this.
All right.
Don't yell and embarrass others.
Oh, he's so hot right now.
Number five. I honestly feel I am just more deserving than others. No.
No.
Yes.
He's a peculiar one, isn't he?
I can't figure him out. Number six. I'll say anything to get what I want. No.
No, 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 no.
Here's a weird one. This one is like put somebody in prison.
All right.
Number seven, hurting people would be exciting. No.
No, 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 no.
I will say no, and also ask Pony not to answer
unless
that one.
Unless it's ouch, ouch, pull my hair.
Ask Pony not to answer that one.
Yes, sir.
You're hurting me.
No.
Yes, Matthew Bloom declines respectfully.
Number eight, I try to make sure others know about my successes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We all have self-promote.
Should I ever have
number
one?
Number nine, it is sometimes worth a little suffering on my part to see others receive the punishment they deserve.
Okay, that's the spiteful one. That's the one that's spiteful.
I don't have that either.
No.
No. There we go. We're not dark.
No.
We have dark.
You can't carry that with you. You carry that with you. It'll eat you from the inside out.
Yeah, brother.
So enjoy social media this weekend coming up where you can read everybody saying.
Anybody realize Mike was more about that than anybody else on the
Make sure, Mike, that you give your social security number at the end of that so someone can hack your identity.
That's right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
My mother's maiden name is capital S.
We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills.
It is the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm Rob Spiewak, your cordial host. And I like this segment because it starts in one direction and goes an absolutely different direction. We start talking about Mike traveling to a hockey game. We talk about surgery. But then Mac sticks his head in an inimitable Mac fashion and says he has a story he'd like to tell. Will it be a success? We shall see. Mac on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Late night, and I turned the magic box off because I needed a decent night's sleep for once in my life. And sports games have been affecting me lately. By the way, it looks like your boy will be making the trek up to Tampa Sunday night.
Oh, very cool.
Tamper.
Yeah, I haven't heard from our friend, but I think I will be making our way up solo to and then coming back Sunday night late. And
cocktails at the Mons Venus?
No, not a chance.
Oscar's favorite sports bar.
Sounds so great.
Saturday night game, there might be a chance where, and first of all, they wouldn't be at the Mons Venus, but... if it was a Saturday night, there might be a hotel room for the kid and a night out with our boy. As it is, just heading up, going to check out the game and then going to come right back. So
cool.
I'm looking forward to playoff hockey in Tampa. I know there are a lot of our listeners that are saying, go Bolts. But I'm saying let's go Caps, and not the same passion. Not the same passion as when we played Pittsburgh, but I'm excited.
I love that the Mons Venus sign says Mons Venus, and underneath it says nude.
Yes, there it is.
It's a separate sign.
Yes.
No, that's a land long ago, far, far away, Oscar.
Home when of the most
some of my golf buddies and I identified a fabulous mother-daughter team that was working in the Mons Venus. That's how you know
that's
you're in
Tampa. Almost like vaudeville.
That's Tampa.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Such a novelty.
Showbiz runs in the family,
yes.
Which I think is a
grandma couldn't make it that night.
What a wonderful thing. It was, the trifecta.
Every picture
the trifecta has the black light. Yes, yeah. Oh, the black light.
You know, I'm sorry for burdening you with that whole medical discussion about me, but, I'm fascinated by that. I went to a party over the weekend with a medical professional who's a friend of mine, who's a foot guy, foot surgeon, and, I love doctors. I've known doctors for a long, long time, and I've socialized with docs for a long time, and it's very cool when they bust out the video or the pictures, which is
because he carries it on his phone, right?
Well, yeah, he likes to, see what's they do it, I think, to keep a record of what's going on. This dude is at a construction site and he has a nail gun.
Oh, no.
And he shoots the nail into his heel.
Oh.
All right. So this is explained to me. And he said, yeah, here it is. And he shows me the procedure that's happening, and all you see is a foot. Well, when you see the foot, you see this is what you see. You see a pair of jeans that are nailed to the back of the boot that is nailed to the heel.
So the back of the heel.
The back of the heel. Underneath
he stepped
the Achilles
on a nail.
Tendon.
Oh.
No. Right, ooh, into the Achilles tendon. And I'm looking at that, and it's, you're thinking nail gun. You're thinking they're going to pull a nail out, right? This thing that they pulled out was a serrated nail that was that long, that was about 2 inches long.
Oh.
And, they put the guy under and you see this. And
God, you almost have to
unscrew
it.
I'm at a pool party, for a kid. By the way, the party I went to, my babysitter's kid graduated nursing school. And so there's a bunch of medical folk around.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there by the pool going, oh, man. It's like the Kevin Nealon bit, you ever use a wood planer and scrape it right over the top of your hand? No. So I'm watching this, and all anybody that was around us would have heard was me going, and when he took this thing out with pliers,
and that's just how he did it. He put him under and yanked it out.
Well, then they have to do some surgery.
Yeah, but it just
sewed up.
It just seems so old west,
barbaric,
it's like Westworld.
It's Civil War surgeon.
Yeah,
one
that's
of my all time favorite bits. Don Geronimo, Civil War surgeon. He never makes house calls, and everything, of course, would be amputation, which was. I thought it was a great bit.
It was.
I was always proud of that bit.
I love that.
He never makes house calls, and you hear a saw. Yeah, anyway, I could be.
I wonder if that is any sort of compromise of the patient doctor confidentiality when he's whipping out the cell phone video.
Don't say that. I don't want to get anybody in trouble because I practically identified.
He didn't show the face.
No faces.
No face. He's not a face doctor. He's a foot doctor.
People do breast augmentation. They take video of that. No problem.
Sure.
That's right.
That's a category.
As long as you just show the nipple, you're okay, right? I mean, that's the way. Well, no,
that's the policy
on the website.
At the foot doctor.
I think Mac wants to weigh in on this.
Why?
Yes, Mac. Yes.
Why would I want to weigh in?
Because you know about the women's, you know what you're into.
Am I?
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah, know, Mac, that you go to the breast surgeon, the plastic surgeon websites and look at the boobs.
Yes.
Of course, all the time. I mean, that's
he's
the only
more
place
into
I go.
Full bush.
He's the only guy I know that goes to a plastic surgeon and tries to get behind the paywall. Premium content.
Push full bush.
How are you, Mac?
Doing good. I actually have a story that I wanted to tell.
Would you like to tell it in the next break? Because we do have to break the
I will
right
be
now.
Glad to do that.
We're going to have
a little bit, yeah.
Damn, he's like a human being.
Ladies and gentlemen, a new feature on the Mike O'Mara Show that just came out of left field because I really didn't have anything prepared other than Koppel. It's Mike McIntosh's Story Corner.
Love it.
We're going to do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Thanks, Mac. We'll be right back.
The best of the Mike O'Mara Show for Thursday, December 28th. Hope your holidays are going well. And here's to a great 2024. It would be hard-pressed to make it worse than 2023, so let's get cracking. Now, we left off. Mac was about to tell a story. We will get that story. We will also discuss I think he's still with us. I'm not a Florida guy, so I don't know. Billy Fusillo, a car dealer in Florida. I believe he sells Kias. So we will do that. I want to remind you that we are back tomorrow with another all-new Rob-hosted, Rob-curated Friday edition of the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show. You see, we don't normally do shows on Fridays. This is our Christmas gift to you, so don't miss out, okay? I'll be here. It's the least you can do. Please double-click or download or something. I don't know. I'm not much of a computer guy. So Max Story, and we will see you tomorrow on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, God almighty.
Hey, before we get to Max, are allergies a thing down there?
I don't know. They had a new story on the local news about it, that a lady was is unable to even leave the house because of the allergies down here in Southwest Florida.
Yeah, my car has turned from black to a lovely shade of green from all the yellow powder up here. It's horrible.
Yeah, and you know, that means that summer is here. Summer is knocking on the door. What is the temperature in Washington, D.C.?
It will crest 90 today, and humidity baring its teeth for the first time today.
See, that is the way it is up there. You don't get spring anymore.
No,
it goes from winter to summer. Bingo bango. But that doesn't take away from the fact that we're going to start a wonderful new regular feature. Well, I lied about the last part. It's time for Mac's Storybook Corner.
Mike, it's right now just a segment. Don't call it a feature.
Please. Yes. First of all, Michael McIntosh, how are you?
I'm doing well. Job's going good. This actually has to do with that. Something I discovered about one of my coworkers there.
Now, before we start, because we don't have to steamroll right into it, I'll help you along. You've lost some weight. What do you attribute your weight loss to?
I stopped drinking sugared sodas.
Oh, that's a biggie.
Hey,
that's like Pony stopping smoking.
Yeah.
Pony,
yeah.
You're still not smoking, right?
Not smoking.
Yeah. So how many days, Pony, with you?
Let's see. It's been since February 14th. It's been over 2 months.
And that's awesome.
Over a month
awesome.
Of like no nicotine, period, after getting off the patch.
That's so great.
It's got to be every week. It's just you're making strides of it. You look better.
Yeah.
Your color's better. That's awesome. Mac, you stopped sugary soda. That's bad for you as well. I'm happy to say that. The work is going well. And you got promoted recently, didn't you, at the Petco?
Yes, at PetSmart. I'm sorry.
PetSmart.
Get it right.
Right. Okay. I'll get it right, tough guy. You bet your ass I will. So what did you discover about one of your coworkers?
Hard drive cables came into the store, and
Do they get excited when that happens?
I did.
Do the employees run up and down the aisles going, the hard drive cables are here.
You see, I said that exact thing, and then I decided to play that video of the chimney sweepers.
Okay. Well, I think you were... Weren't you referring to the jerk?
Yeah, I was kind of doing a jerk.
The jerk thing. Well, but his also works.
Mine was the hard drive cables are here. The hard drive cables are here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I understand.
Nerds at work.
Nerds at work. At Micro Center when that happens?
Yeah. So what happens is, I go onto my station and start playing it really loudly so everyone in the shop can hear.
So
and
when you say your station, like your workstation?
My workstation, yeah.
Okay. How does that set up?
It's pretty much like almost like a cubicle where I have a desk on either side. And
what is the song he's talking about, Rob?
Oh, the chimney sweep song. 1-800-CHIMNEY. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, step in time.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
C-H-I-M-N-E-Y.
Okay, very good, very good. That's what you were playing, Mac?
Yes, I was playing that in the shop. And then one of my coworkers...
And they said, wise promotion. This man cannot be stopped.
There we go.
So I start playing it, and then one of my coworkers comes over and, why are you playing that song of in A Step in Time? And so I'm like, oh, you know of it? He didn't just know of it. He worked for them.
He worked for the Chimney Sweep
company.
He worked
for A Step in Time.
Wow.
The Chimney Sweep is here. The Chimney Sweep is here. A Step in Time.
Rob isolated us how many years ago?
Oh, this
decade ago?
We were on terrestrial radio.
Oh, a long time ago. One of the worst jingles of all time.
So bad. Oh, both verses.
I wish you were down here because you could collect some beauties down here that they have. Low budget advertising. By the way, Billy Fusillo, the Kia guy that it's huge.
It's huge.
You know, he jettisoned his old chippy that he had with him, and he's got a new babe.
Well, and, that's a fair, like, almost like a bi-yearly thing. Like, every 2 years, doesn't he do that?
I don't know. Trades he up? Had Caroline with him a whole a long
but,
time.
But didn't he phase Caroline out and he had a Hispanic lovely that
well,
helped
no,
him out?
No, she's still there.
Okay.
He brought the Hispanic lady in. And by the way, she does Hispanic language, Spanish language commercials.
Ah.
And she also does regular commercials. And now he's got the brand new lady who, you know, has the bleach blonde. And I won't discuss the descriptor that my wife puts on her.
Salute!
But anyway, she comes in. She and that's not fair. But
that's
she,
fine. Does she ever say she's not as pretty as she thinks she is?
But she is there, and then he does this thing where you know it's amazing that these ads run during the Me Too era because
yeah.
He will take his meat hooks and he will drape his arms over both of these women. He's big on that. He's a big guy, and he's big on going, I got a great deal on these kids. They're coming in huge. And he puts his giant meat hooky arms around both women, and they look strangely, they're great actresses, because they look strangely comfortable with him
strangely
doing
comfortable
this,
is a good description.
No one likes the arm draped over them. I have to point that out, whether it be a male or a female. It's done in sports sometime, you know, where you see that, and I don't care for it.
It's
and
an overly
it,
friendly
so.
Gesture, never well received. Do you think the reason...
It's a dominant gesture. It's a gesture of power.
It's like he owns them almost.
Didn't Sam Huff do it to you once?
Yeah, well, that was on a plane.
That's
when he
true.
Was, making a point that he didn't want us to say bad things about him, and we were afeared.
Yes, I guess so.
So
but do you think
the
reason
chimney, yes.
those spots exist in the Me Too movement, do things move at a different speed in Florida? Is it a different environment than, say, the national consciousness?
I think that Billy Fasillo right now would be, and he has been successful in multiple markets.
Yeah.
I think that the reason he, the only reason that he is a stone cold lockdown here is because advertising rates are cheaper and he can saturate the airwaves. The guy had his own cable channel for a while. The guy is everywhere and he can buy so much advertising and that's the business model. So everybody knows him, but it appeals to people because of A, the saturation of the ads.
Yeah.
You see him
he's a personality, yeah.
And Kia looks good. Let's go to that guy that does the guy thing because he's on TV all the time. But I don't know if it's the Florida consciousness that does not get phased by that, but he does have more of like the Florida beach babe now.
Sure.
Who's next?
Well, that's
to him,
another. I mean, he's a personality, and there's a little, you know, eye candy. So, I mean, what's not to
well,
like?
Well, she doesn't hit the alarm for I'm yourself. Eye candy. She doesn't talk as much as the previous person, and she doesn't seem to be required to. That's all I wanted to say about this particular spokesmodel. So, Mac, you're a chimney sweep guy. What did he say after? Did you have a discussion with him about it? What happened?
I talked about him. He left the company not on good terms, so I'm not going to say his name.
Oh.
Okay.
Why did he? Did he say why he left and what were the bad terms?
He did not. He did say why the bad terms. Because he said his boss was a dick.
Okay. Oh wow!
But we found
unless
out that
of course his boss
still...
was Dick Van Dyke as the chimney sweep.
Yes.
In Mary Poppins.
It all makes sense.
Shimmery.
Great accent.
You sound like you're getting so much more gregarious at the Micro Center. You're just having these conversations and. Dare I say it, are there any people looking up to you now for guidance at Micro Center since you're a veteran? No?
God, no.
No.
They treat me almost like, they treat me very poorly.
Now I got a problem with that. Because you know what, on the Island of Misfit Toys, which is the Mike O'Mara show, you know, we gave you a hard time like everybody else, but we welcomed you into the bosom of our family. And I don't like it when one of my kids is being treated poorly at some other location. Is there anybody I need to call?
In a joking manner. We do it with everyone.
You bust balls.
Yeah, we bust balls.
Like we do here on the show.
And I am I'm a common target.
Oh, okay.
You lend yourself to that.
I return the favor. I return the favor.
Now, I would guess that the...
Listen to his confidence, Pony.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Doesn't he sound like he's just stepping up? I'm just so proud
very
of him.
Different.
For
well,
years,
this place has helped me. I can take any criticism and not feel bad about it.
That's great. That's a very good
I love hearing your joy and your positivity and your voice. You were such a moping, sad sack when you joined us. And now look at you. Yes, Rob, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I would guess that the staff, I'm just guessing, that the staff at Micro Center is largely male. Is that true?
Yes.
Are there any females that work there?
Yes, not in our department,
though. All right, but as you cover the store.
They keep them away. They keep them away. Like staying out of a fire anthill.
They mostly sell printer paper.
Don't go in there.
Don't let the women work near the floor. Please don't. You remember the last guy. Can you imagine that? The guys, what if they put a Billy Fasillo spokesmodel on the floor at Micro Center? My God, the guys would all have to sit down for the entire shift. It would be ridiculous.
I just wanted to know, is there any flirting that goes on among the staff? And I'm not saying that you're flirter or the flirty. Just, is there any flirting? Yes.
Only between a person who's already has a girlfriend with another staff member. So there's
That clearer.
There are two people who work there who are already dating.
So they flirt because they're dating.
Yes, but other than that, not really.
Do you ever shoot a glance at one of those ladies?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you ever get a real stone cold hottie come in looking for USB cables or anything like that?
I need a mouse.
Yes. Definitely yes.
Do they get extra help?
Always.
Yeah. Okay. Max is
my monitor. My monitor went out.
Sorry. I had to do that. So is that it, Mac? Is that your little story? Is that it? Or are you
That's
done?
Pretty much it.
Yeah, brush
That's
with greatness.
That's a great story.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.